John chapter 14, verse number 6. The Bible said, Jesus saith unto him. Now we understand contextually here what is being said. The Bible said in verse number 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. All right, and continue to go down through here. And Thomas says to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And this is what Jesus' reply is to Thomas. He says to Thomas, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Heavenly Father, I thank you this evening for the opportunity to stand one more time behind the pulpit, Lord, and to preach the Word of God and to trust you, Lord, that you'll speak through us and help us and guard our lips of clay. Lord, to stop our stammering tongue. Lord, to preach us in demonstration and power of the Holy Ghost of God for just a little while tonight. Lord, we're not looking for a new message, although a preacher has a tendency, Lord, to try to find something new, but it's not new. We're preaching an old book, a preserved book. And Lord, we're to know the book and study the book. And we're not looking for a new message. We're looking for a fresh anointing tonight. Lord, I ask that you would you'd help us as we preach. Lord, I am ever aware that the messages that are going out are not only going out to the congregation of this local assembly, but Lord, it's being shed abroad throughout the land. And I appreciate you giving us the opportunity to do that. And I pray, God, you'd give us souls for our labor. I pray, God, that you would prick the heart, Lord, of that wayward one, Lord, that maybe is cold and complacent tonight, and call them back to an old-fashioned altar of repentance where they can get back on the straight and narrow way, Lord, working for you, for your glory, and for your honor. I pray, God, that you would encourage that one tonight, Lord, that's downtrodden and having issues in life and needs encouragement. I pray, God, you would lift him up. But Lord, it's an earnest prayer tonight that you'd save that sinner that's nearest hell. And God, that we would be an outreach from this local assembly and that one, Lord, that is lost and undone and doesn't know you in the free pardon of sin, Lord, they would see, number one, their need for a Savior. They would see, God, that their sinful flesh, that their righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. And let, Lord, they need a Savior to save them from the charred walls of the damned tonight. Please, God, I pray, send this message out to one that is lost, that they might be gloriously saved before it's everlasting too late. And we'll thank you, and we'll praise you, Lord, and we'll give you the glory, and we'll give you the honor. In Jesus' name I ask these things and do pray. Amen and amen. The Lord has blessed us to be able to come to you by this particular means through live stream. We understand that this message will be recorded for people to listen to at a later date. But I'd like to ask my church members tonight to pray, to be much in prayer through the message tonight, that the Lord would have his will and that he'd have his way. I ask you to do that for me. So understanding John chapter number 14 and verse number 6, this very familiar, sometimes over-familiar verse of Scripture, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Of course, I appreciate that portion of this verse of Scripture. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And I thank God for that. But I'm mainly interested in this second part of verse number 6. The Bible said that no man cometh unto the Father but by me. All right, and so first and foremost, we need to understand today that as an individual lost and undone that may not know God in the free pardon of sin, there's no way tonight to the Father, to God, except through Jesus Christ. And so that's a very important thing on this Easter Sunday, that we understand that. We understand that Jesus Christ was crucified on a cross at Mount Calvary. We understand that he bled and died, and he took upon the sins of the world for all mankind. And we understand that he was a sacrificial lamb. He was a lamb that was led to the slaughter. As a sheep before her shearers is dumb, he openeth not his mouth. He went to the cross of Calvary willingly. He said he would willingly lay down his life, and he could bring it forth again. And so I thank God that on this Easter Sunday evening, in this Easter service this evening, that we have a Savior that has risen again. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. And I thank God that I have him living and abiding on the inside. I do not serve a dead Savior. I do not have a dead religion. I am not quite dead and plucked up by the roots this evening. But I serve a risen Savior. He's very much real in my life. He's working in my life. And I thank God for that. Alright, and so, interestingly enough, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So it's important today that Christ rose again. If our only hope had been in Christ, and it is our only hope through Christ that we get to God, and Jesus Christ had died that cruel death on Calvary and had not risen again and brought a captivity captive and had the keys to death and hell, our religion today would be in vain. There would be no way to God because we would not have Jesus Christ. So I thank God that not only did he die, not only was he the propitiation for our sin, not only did he go to the cross of Calvary to pay the sin debt that was placed on him from all mankind, but he did die, but he did rise again. And I thank God for that. Alright, and so the Bible says in John 14:14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And so we understand tonight, I know most of us do as a church, certainly, that when we pray to God through Jesus Christ. And when we pray, we approach the throne of grace, and we come to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. And when we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because there is no man that cometh unto the Father but by me. That'll be literal in the sense of when we're lifted, when we're absent from the body, we'll be present for the Lord. We'll be in the presence of Jesus Christ and God the Father. We understand that. But you do need to understand that also when we pray and we approach the throne of grace, even on this side of eternity, when we talk to God through our mediator, our intercessor, the man Christ Jesus. And so I thank God not only did he die, but that he lives again. So that's a wonderful thing. Everyone today believes in, seems like, let me put it that way, seems like everyone today believes in God. Or believes in a God, if you will, quote unquote. It's the issue of Jesus that people have a tendency to have a problem with. And so I'm glad that Jesus came forth out of the grave. And I'm saved today because of what Jesus Christ done. I don't serve a dead God. I don't serve a dead religion. I don't serve Buddha, who's not alive, but laid up in a grave somewhere. Buddhism revolves around ethical conduct and inner purity and a reliance upon one's own experience as opposed to an external authority. That's what Buddhism is, according to what I can find about that particular religion. They claim to revolve around ethical conduct and things of that nature. Friend, we don't know what ethical conduct is unless we get it from the Word of God. We know that we're not to compare ourselves among ourselves, for it is not right. We use the Scripture as our final authority today. And so there's an issue today of sin. There's an issue today, and we mentioned this morning that he lives and died and lives again. And we know that he lived twice, that we wouldn't have to die twice. So we understand that when he died, he sent upon them the man wants to die, and after this is the judgment. Christ didn't just die the first time, but Christ suffered an eternity on the cross of Calvary. Christ died the second death to obtain eternal redemption for us all. Without Jesus, no one today can come to God. I thank God that he lives. If he had only died, friends, Satan would have defeated him. He had only risen, there would be no significant strength in him getting up. But he didn't just die. And he didn't just rise again. But he died and rose again. That brings great significance to what has happened. Because he did die, and because they did mock him, when he came out of the grave, they knew they had killed the Son of God. See, God made a statement here. God let the world know that Jesus Christ had indeed been crucified. As he was hanging on the cross of Calvary, before he gave up the ghost, he was enduring, friend, the sin that had been placed on him. He was enduring the punishment and the anguish and the pain that had been placed upon him. We understand that he was enduring that. And we understand that he was being mocked, no doubt, during this particular situation. And at that time, nothing was really happening according to the things that they were saying. But let me say this. If you will allow me to read you a portion of Scripture, Matthew chapter number 27 and verse number 50 tells us Jesus, when he had cried with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Alright, and so the Bible said, and came out of the grave after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And so you understand today, and I understand, that those that mocked him and those that were witnessing the day that he was crucified, all the things that were being done to him, as he was being afflicted and clawed with the whip and having his flesh torn open and bleeding, friend, and actually dying a cruel death for all mankind as an ultimate sacrifice. We understand that they railed against him, they mocked him, they made fun of him, they put a superscription, a king of the Jews, and I mean they just done everything they could to belittle Jesus Christ. But I want you to understand today that after he yielded up the ghost, after they had mocked him, after they had made their statements, after they had done all the things that they had done and said all the things that they had said, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. Now let me explain to you what you probably already know. But in the day of the temple, when the great high priest would go in and make atonement, friend, once annually for mankind, or for the children of Israel, let me say it that way, that only the great high priest could go in to the holiest of the holies. And between that chamber and the other chamber before it, friend, in the house of God, you understand that there was a veil that separated the holy, holy of holies from the remainder of the temple, or in the days of Moses, the tabernacle. We understand that there was a covering between that chamber. And that essentially what you need to realize today is no one was allowed back in there but the great high priest. And we understand today that we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, and that it's called out and set apart because we've been saved by the grace of God. And now he is our great high priest because he went to the cross of Calvary and done what no man could do, abiding that sacrificial lamb, that sacrifice for once and for all for the sins of the entire world. And essentially, Korea, a statement was made when he gave up the ghost as the temple, as the veil was rent from top to bottom. Friend, essentially what he's saying is, you once could not go in. You at one time was not allowed. You at one time were unable. But now, because I died a cruel death on the cross of Calvary, because I give up the ghost for you. Now, any man, woman, boy, or girl has access to the Holy of Holies, has access to God by the name Jesus Christ, that name which is above every name. Hallelujah to God. So I thank God today for the statement that was made. Friend, he made it known. God made it known that this is my beloved Son, and I am well pleased. He's the one that satisfied me. And I thank God today that I couldn't satisfy him and you could not satisfy him. But I served one today that did satisfy him. And now I have a way to God through Jesus Christ. And I thank God for that today. Alright? And so the Bible said the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection. So after he arose 3 days later, when he come out of the tomb, not only did Jesus Christ go forth and began to show himself as he went back towards Galilee, but also the graves burst open, friend, and people come up out of the graves. And the Bible says, went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Hey, a statement was being made. Oh, they had mocked Jesus Christ. They had said cruel things to him. They had belittled him. But now God, friend, has taken charge. And now God is showing people that this indeed was the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Messiah today, friend. All right, and the Bible said that when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things which were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. You understand today, friend, that now had they understood what they were doing, and they understood who they were crucifying, they would not have crucified them. And so Jesus Christ, friend, allowed them to say the things that they were saying to fulfill the prophecy that Jesus Christ would come, born of a virgin for the sins of the world, that we might be adopted into the family of God. All right, and so I thank God for that, but you need to understand something today. There's still a crowd that's mocking. There's still a crowd today that's making fun. There's still a crowd today that believes in God or a God or some God or God's plural, but they don't put their hope and their faith in the name of Jesus Christ, that name which is above every name. The name, friend, that every Bible that ever leaves going to bow, ever comes going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Alright, so that's coming to pass. Whether you like it, whether you don't, whether you believe it, or whether you don't, it's going to happen. Now the Bible tells us here that the centurion and those that were with him, they feared greatly. Friend, when God gets ready to reveal what he's going to reveal, when God gets ready to make a statement, friend, it'll put fear and instill fear in the hearts of those that he is trying to make a statement in front of. Alright, now let me say this. I want to remind us about the Mount of Transfiguration. Just quickly here, we've got a lot of things to cover. There will probably be no way that I'm going to get through everything that I'm going to get through tonight. So just buckle up, because we'll probably start another series. I may run this series on Sunday night for a little while, and we're going to try to get back on our series of the home on Wednesday night, and so we may just have to run this way for a little while. But you bear with us all night and pray for us. But the Bible talks about the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter number 17. And the Bible tells us that Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, up into a high mountain. And we know that Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face did shine, the Bible said, as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And we know, reading Matthew chapter number 17, that Moses and Elias appeared and was talking to Jesus. Peter decided it was good to be here. So Peter, being who Peter was, and doing the things that Peter does, or did, and be honest with you, we're a lot like Peter in a lot of ways. We like to open mouth and insert foot a lot of times, but I find that I have that tendency, if I'm not careful, I have a tendency that I forget to study, to be quiet, to use both of my ears twice as much as I do my mouth. But I have an understanding that Peter decided here that it was good to be here. He makes this statement. He wanted to make a tabernacle for Moses, and one for Elias, and one for Christ. Alright, and so I like this, because Matthew 17:5 tells us this, while he yet spake. And so Peter was still in the process of giving his discourse to Jesus Christ about how they ought to build a tabernacle for Elias and Moses and for Jesus, and how it was good for him to be here. He said, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed him. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved son. And so let me say this to you. Essentially what you find on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17:5 is that God interrupts Peter in Peter's speaking. In the middle of what Peter was trying to say to Jesus Christ, God shows up on the scene and begins to speak. Alright? We see a great happening going on right here through the transfiguration of Jesus Christ and his conversation with Moses and Elias. But we find that Jesus said, this is my beloved son. And so he interrupts what Peter is having to say. And all of Peter's talking and all of Peter's running his mouth, you find that God intervenes and interrupts Peter and says, my beloved son. This is my beloved son. So not only is he saying here that that Jesus is mine, but he's showing the authority of who God really is. All right, he said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Now what was Jesus doing? Jesus was having a conversation with Elias and with Moses in the presence of Peter, James, and John, his brother. And so Peter, James, and John wasn't in the conversation, you understand. It was Jesus and Elias and Moses. And Peter interjects when he should have been quiet, and God interrupts. And I want you to see a picture here of when God gets ready to interrupt the program today, friend. That's what he's going to do. When God gets ready, friend, to make a statement, God is going to make a statement. We look through the Bible, and there's prophecy after prophecy after prophecy. Prophecy has been fulfilled. We understand there are prophecy, prophetic teachings that have not yet been fulfilled, but we know they will come to pass because God said that they would. And can I say to you, you can believe what God has to say. Let God be true and every man a liar. Alright, and so the Bible said, Father, yes, spake the whole right cloud over seven of and the whole voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. In other words, be quiet and listen to what Jesus has to say to Peter. You need to quit talking and you need to start listening. I would to God today that people all across this land could stop talking and start listening today, friend. Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got an idea. Everybody has got their own way of thinking. Everybody's doing what's right in the sight of their own eyes. And we understand, so is the word in the days of Noah. So is the word in the days of Lot. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And so right now, people are doing what they think is right in the sight of their own eyes today, friend. And God is essentially saying, you need to listen to my son. This is my son. You need to listen to Jesus. Listen, Jesus, friend, is a picture of mercy and grace. Jesus came not to call the righteous, but what? Sinners to repentance. This is the one that the Pharisees and scribes had trouble understanding why he would set great bread with sinners and eat with them. Because he came to save, to seek and to save that which was lost. There was a heart for sinners. There was a heart for lost. But I do want you to understand something. Although Jesus Christ, the second part of the triune Godhead, came to seek and to save sinners, and because he loves sinners, friend, there's still a God in heaven that's holy and righteous, and he will have judgment. And if you will not accept his son, the one that he gave up for all of mankind, then you are destined and doomed to go into the charcoal of the damned, to be forevermore in the lake of fire. And with the worm, friends, I am not. You understand that? And the fire is not quenched, friends. So you need to realize today, essentially, it's all about Jesus. Every book in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, shows a picture of Jesus Christ in some platform or in some way. And so it's all about Christ. You understand that? We learned the other day that it was foreordained before the foundation of the world that he was going to come and die. And you understand that before Jesus Christ and God ever made the earth, because we know what the Bible said, God said, let us make man in our image. Let us. That was God of the Father, of God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they were all in one the same, and all yet very different, but they were present at the foundations of the world. And so before the foundation of the world, we understand that Jesus Christ was foreordained to go to Mount Calvary, and to bleed and to die for you, and to bleed and to die for me. And so I thank God for that. All right, listen, he said, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. So be quiet, Peter, and listen. Now here's what I want to show you. Verse number 6 says, when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. When God showed up, he instilled fear. Now Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now you understand something. All three parts of the triune Godhead are equal. They're co-equal. And so we like the part where Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. And we like the mercy. And we like the grace. But a lot of times we fail to forget, or fail to remember, rather, that sin is still an issue that's killing mankind and we're causing them to break off and go to a devil's hell. And when God shows up, friend, God instills fear. When God shows up and makes a statement, it causes people to do what? Fall on their face. And that's essentially what Peter, James, and John done. See, Peter was the one talking. James and John were listening. But when God showed up, it put all three of them on their face today. I want you to understand something. God has a way of putting people on their face. Alright? And so it's Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus Christ. You'll not go to the Father unless you go through the Son. We understand that. He's not the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Alright? So here's the problem. We can't get to the Father without Jesus Christ. Alright, now we learned in Isaiah 59, that verse number 1, yet again another familiar portion of scripture. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter number 59, let me see if I can find my place over here quickly. Isaiah 59 and 1, the Bible said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. All right, for your hands are defiled with blood. Your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness, excuse me. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. And so we understand, I believe that you understand today, that it's our iniquities. Specifically, we're dealing with Israel here in this portion of scripture. And he's telling Israel that the hand of the Lord is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But the interesting thing about the book of Isaiah in chapter number 59, it is a direct continuation of chapter number 58. And so we're going to look at chapter number 58 for just a few minutes, but we understand the separation between God and mankind because of the sin of mankind. We understand that. It's man's sin that is called separation. And so there's but one thing that can bring that separated that separation back together in unity, and that was Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen again. So I thank God for the man Christ Jesus. All right, and here's what I want us to see. It's our iniquities that separated us us from God. All right, and the Bible said His sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. Now His ear is not too heavy that it cannot hear. But He's making the decision, the choice in Isaiah chapter number 59 to hide His face from the children of Israel because of their iniquity. Their lips have spoken lies. Friend, there's a generation today, I mean everywhere you turn, people are just full of lies. They'll look you in the eyeball and lie to you, I mean stand flat-footed and tell you a lie. The Bible said your tongue has muttered perverses. We live in a generation today of pure pervertedness today. People are not, they're not holy, they're not righteous, they're not trying to shape themselves in accordance to the Word of God, but they are unholy, and they are perverted. And I want, the Bible said in verse 4, none calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and seek lies. They can see mischief and bring forth iniquity. It's just sin on top of sin, on top of sin, with no regard to God and no regard to Jesus Christ, no regard for God's book, no regard for God's law, no regard for what Jesus Christ done at Calvary, no regard for what He's done for the sinner by shedding His blood at Calvary. So I like this because in Isaiah chapter number 58, we understand that Isaiah 59 is coming right after Isaiah 58. It's a continuation of Isaiah chapter number 58. What do we find in Isaiah chapter number 58 and verse number 1? The Bible said, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching God. All right, now listen. Let me jump over to Isaiah 58 and verse number 12. The Bible said, and they that shall be of these shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Now listen, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on the holy day, and call the Sabbath of the light, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken. Alright, and so then he continues on when he says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened. But he says it's your iniquities that are separated between you and God. Essentially here in Isaiah 58, the Bible says, cry out and spare not. You know what we need to do today in 2020? We need to cry aloud and spare not. I understand that some are having compassion for making a difference, but we understand the Bible said some say with fear pull them out of the fire. And I want you to know that God has a way of instilling fear in mankind today. And so this nation, friend, essentially is on its way to hell. The Bible said nations that forget God will be turned into hell. We understand that. We're to cry loud. We're to spare not. We're to call it like it is. Say it like it is. Tell it like it is. If we'll live it, friend, we should tell it. And when we tell it like it is, people can understand that there's a problem today. Do you know why in 2020 everybody's fading on their way to heaven according to what you hear from them? It's because they don't understand their sin. They don't look at anything but Jesus Christ as just mercy and grace all the time. And they fail to see the judgment. Our nation right now is in the shape that it's in because of some things that's going on today that's not of the Lord. And we live in this society today. All right, 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, also a very familiar portion of Scripture. I want you to understand what God is saying to King Solomon here. This is very, very important. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. And verse number 12 said, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place for myself for an house of sacrifice. Now listen, he says, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. So we see there's a stipulation. But what are we seeing in verse number 13? We love to preach and talk and quote verse number 14, but sometimes we miss verse number 13. He's telling Solomon, listen, Solomon, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain. He's saying, if you are experiencing a drought, Solomon, it's because I'm trying to get someone's attention. If I command the locusts to devour the land, we see plagues being put forth on the land. God said, if I plague the land with locusts, and the locusts come and devour the land, understanding that when the locusts do that, they destroy the crops that are being planted in order for them to sustain life, through food. Alright, and so, if I send pestilence among my people, you need to understand that today, alright? If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if I do these things, Solomon, if you see these things coming to pass, number one, Solomon, you're going to know that I'm the reason that it's happening. You're going to understand that I'm the reason that this is coming to pass. But I'm doing it, friend, to draw the land, friend, back to me, is what he says to Solomon. I'm doing it to draw my people, which are called by my name. I'm doing it to try to get their attention. But there's a way, Solomon, that you can make sure that these issues go away. And this is what he says. My people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Sit down, mine eyes shall be open, and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. Alright, and now listen to me. Verse number 19, no, let's go to 17. And as for me, talking to Solomon specifically, and as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. Now here's what I kind of want to call your attention to something quickly. We go in verse number 13, verse number 14, and verse number 15, and verse number 16, from dealing with the nation of the children of Israel, to going directly into verse number 17, and specifically dealing with Solomon on a personal level. Now here's what I want to deal with tonight. Let me explain this, if the Lord will help me for just a little while, for a few more minutes anyway. We understand here that, nationally speaking, I want to say this, our nation is a nation today that was founded upon godly principles. Now, you may not agree with that, and I can't help it, and I'm not saying that our forefathers were perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but I will say this. We are here today in the land that we live in America, because of persecution of Christians, and because that we were not allowed to have the freedom to worship God the way that the Bible says that we ought to worship God. And so essentially, it caused people to come out from under the persecution and come to the land in which we live in today. And so let me say this, when we talk about the people of God, preachers and people have a tendency to take this verse of scripture and apply it specifically to the church, because we understand that Israel, the children of Israel, was no doubt God's chosen people. And we're dealing in the context of this scripture with God's people. But I want you to understand we're not just dealing with a group of people, we're dealing with nations. And I want you to understand today that the United States of America as a nation was blessed of God because it was a nation that was founded upon the principles of the Word of God. Now let me say this, I'm not so ignorant as to believe that everybody that come over into this new land might have not been about God, might have not been about the things
say that 100% of everyone that come into this land, friend, was trying to do exactly what God wanted them to do in every area of their life. But I will say this, the nation as a whole, the people that come and started this nation as a whole were about the Word of God and about the things of God. And essentially what has happened today is we now have a small fraction of people in this nation that are trying wholeheartedly to follow the Word of God and live for the Lord in light of the Scripture, the way the Word of God says that we ought to, putting Jesus Christ first in our life and letting everybody else fall under that umbrella. And so essentially, here's my life. We may not be able to control what's going on in this nation. I will say this, we ought not roll over and tuck our tail, if you will, and allow them to do whatever that they want to do. We should stand for something. We should fight for our rights as born-again believers to do what the Bible tells us to do and be what the Bible tells us to be. But I like this. In verse number 17, it becomes personal. There is a personal conversation between God and Solomon about how God would bless Solomon individually if he do what God told him to do. He said, if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them, and this house, which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight and make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to everyone that passes by, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered because they forsook the Lord God, their forefathers, if you will, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. We understand that their forefathers come out of the land of Egypt. They forsook the way of their forefathers. What have we done? We're forsaking the way today of our forefathers who come out of bondage over in in England and come to this country, friend, to find freedom of religion. We've forsaken the way of our forefathers and we've gone and done what we thought was right in the sight of our own eyes today, friend. And essentially we can apply the Scripture to our lives. Now I understand from a government standpoint, I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican, the government as a whole is not concerned as a whole about your religious freedoms or your religious rights. They say that they are, but when you get down to the nuts and bolts of the matter, and you start dissecting the Word of God, and really get specific in what you believe, and know in real sin what sin is, friend, people are going to shy away from that today. Alright? And I understand that's going to have an effect on us nationally. God dealt with the children of Israel on a national level. He also dealt with people on an individual level. Now we learned a little bit about that this morning, when Moses was told to take and make that fiery serpent made out of brass and stick it on the pole, and that was how that serpent reacted in Numbers, I think it was chapter number 21 and verse number 9, reacted to the children of the Israelites that come by it, was we see how the judgment was to be passed upon them individually. So God deals with judgment on an individual level, and he deals with judgment on a national level. You better realize today, you live in a nation that's going to be judged by God. You need to understand that today. It's happening. Whether it's happening in this moment, whether what we're seeing right now is that judgment, I don't know, and you don't know, but I will say this. Hey, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, God may not be judging this land, but I'll say this, God is allowing what's happening right now to be happening. And now, and a lot of people think what's happening right now ain't really real. And a lot of people think right now that this thing is probably worse than what it is. I don't know where you fall into that. Let me say this. Whether what's happening right now is utter destruction and devastation, or what's happening right now is a big fake pony out of Washington. Whichever way you believe, I didn't want you to understand something. God can get the glory out of what's happening right now. We live in a land right now that is sinning. We live in a land right now that has forgotten Jesus Christ. They're not looking to Jesus Christ to be that intermediator between God and man. But they're not looking to that. We understand you'll not get to God except through Jesus. But right now, people's not looking at Jesus. People's not looking at God. But when God, friend, does what he's done on the Mount of Transfiguration, configuration, and it gets the attention of the people, friend. They're going to fall on their face in fear. You better believe it, friends. Now, there's some things that's going on today that needs to be dealt with and approached specifically. And I'm running out of time, so I'm going to just give you a few of these. I'm going to hit the high spots, and we'll pick back up with it again next Sunday night. All right, but I want to say this. Right now, we're living in a land where so many people are doing things that we've got so accustomed to, and they're flowing under the radar. We say right now that we've got a government, we've got government officials that are calling for national days of prayer, and we've got a president right now that is calling for national days of prayer and talking about the Lord. And you understand that I don't have time to get into all this, but let me say this: he absolutely has made the statement on public television that he never has asked the Lord to forgive him of his sin. That he's working those things out between himself, he's working them out himself, dealing with them himself. He thinks that doing good is going to get him to heaven. And I say to you, friend, if you accept what Jesus Christ done at Calvary for the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you will not be saved. And so right now, whether you agree with it or don't agree with it, we are not going to move towards the things of God as a nation. Why? Because we're allowing so many other things to happen that's against God and against His book that He's not going to bless this nation. It's going to continue to get worse. Now, He warned Solomon here in 2 Chronicles chapter number 7 that the faith of his people was lying under the authority of the king, which at that time was Solomon. And he warned Solomon that if things are not done a certain way, Solomon, you can look at your people and see what's going to happen. And you better understand something today. This nation we live in, whether we come back up from it right now or whatever happens, I don't know, we may get over this thing and go another 100 years. But at some point, friend, in the duration of this nation, it's going to fall flat on its face. You might as well get ready for it. You might as well understand it, because there's too much happening right now that's being overlooked by authoritarians, all right? And listen, I understand that people are dying right now from this virus. But there are so many other things that people are dying from right now that they're not concerned about or worried about on a level that they should be. All right? And so let me say this. Let me just read to you something here. Jeremiah chapter number 1 and verse number 5 said, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." And so when the Lord is speaking to Jeremiah here in Jeremiah chapter number 1, He's making the statement that He formed thee in the belly. And He was responsible for forming Jeremiah in the womb. And said, "Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee." He blessed Jeremiah before Jeremiah ever come out of the womb. Right now, we're responsible as a nation for allowing millions of unborn babies to be murdered in the United States of America. You cannot tell me that God wants to bless a land where we're killing unborn children today. But listen, Moses, and I hear all kinds of arguments. You say, "Preacher, you don't understand. That little fellow or that little girl might have been born with a handicap. And you might have prevented them from that handicap." Can I tell you, the Bible says, "Though Paul, when you're weak, I'm made strong." Paul had a thorn in the flesh because God used him to humble him. Some of the most gracious people I've ever met in my life were people that were born with problems that some folk, if they had another mother or another father, they'd have been killed before they were ever taken or born from the womb. So let me say this, Moses had a handicap, friend, and he thought his handicap, his inability to speak, was such a problem that he argued with God and didn't want God to put him in service to the Lord. And he wanted his brother Aaron to help him. Let me say this, I want to read you a portion of scripture, Exodus 21 and 22. "If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, he shall pay as the judge determined." Alright, now let me say this. The Bible is talking here in Exodus 21 about her fruit. What is the fruit? Well, we know the fruit is the child. Psalms 127 said, "Though children are inherited unto the Lord, the fruit of thy womb is his reward." Alright, and so essentially, it was God that formed Jeremiah in the belly of his mother. We need to let God do what God's going to do. We need to quit playing God today in this nation. This nation is playing with fire trim, and it's going to get burned. Job 33:4 says that the Spirit of God made me, and the breath of Almighty hath given me life. Job is saying, I'm here today because of the Spirit of God and the breath of Almighty God. Alright, so what are you saying? I'm saying today we need to allow God to make the decisions as to whether or not a child should be born. There are people today, friend, that's had children born stillborn, and there's families today that's had children that were born premature, that were not alive when they were born. And you say, I don't understand that. Well, I'm not God, and you're not God. But let me say this. I know of a particular instance in a particular story where a woman had prayed and prayed and prayed to God to allow her to have a child. And she had that child. That child rebelled. That child was in sin. That child never got right. That child never got born again. And that child went to the depths of hell. And that woman said, I wish to God I'd have kept my mouth shut and been barren as I had a child born that went to the pits of hell. And I said to you, God can be responsible for this. We need to let God be God. And we need to be the children of God and find our place today for you. All right, so we need to allow God to make the decision. Psalms 139. And if you've got your Bible and you want to turn there quickly, We're probably not going to get much farther than this matter of abortion concerning the sins that's causing our nation to be in the shape that it's in. But we're going to continue on throughout some more Sunday night services. All right? Psalms 139 in verse number 13. Let me find a place here. Yes. Verse number 13 says, for thou hast possessed my reins. Now reins is the seat of the authority. It's the inner being of your body, if you will. Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Alright, and so I will praise thee, David said, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. Can I say to you that David was what he was because God, just like Jeremiah, formed him in the womb. You are what you are, and you're made the way that you're made, and you have the trials and afflictions of life that you do, and the thorns of the flesh, because God made you that way. All right? So I would praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee. Who he was in the womb, friend, wasn't hid from God. Can I say to you, when conception takes place, there's life. And you don't mess with life, friend. You're playing God when you do that. See, when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. Oh my, said being unperfect. And in thy hook all my members were written. You know why people are aborting babies today? Because they're not perfect. There's an issue with their health, and so they choose not to have the baby born. Friend, that's a lot like Nazi Germany. I hate to tell you that, but that's a lot. I said it sounds a lot like Hitler to me. Well, actually, the Bible said, thine eyes can see my substance yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which is dependent for fashion, when as yet there was none of them. Now listen, that might sound a little harsh. Let me back up. I hit the stump right there, and I think I need to plow it on out just one more time. Let me say to you today, it sounds a lot like Hitler, these people trying to kill babies that are not perfect in the womb. Say, preacher, that's just downright mean. And I say to you, friend, what the Germans done to the Jews was awful. And what we're doing to unborn babies today in this nation, it is gruesome. And it is awful. And it's an abomination in the sight of God. And you cannot expect God to bless this land for the things that's going on today along those lines. All right? And maybe I'm just a wee bit fired up tonight, but I'll be honest with you, there's some things going on in this nation today that we need to get a grip on, and we need to wake up and realize that we are going down the tube as a nation, and you can forget the blessings of God on this nation as a whole for the long term. You can forget it, friend. Verse number 16, the eyes did see my substance being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which is continued for fashion, when as yet there was none of thee. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the Son of thee. If I should tell him, how holy to God.
Say, preacher, you're getting a little long tonight. Friend, you're in your recliner. Just enjoy it for a few minutes. All right? Said, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me. Oh God, how great is the sum of thee. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand when I wake. Oh, I'm still with thee. He's saying, I'm so thankful to be with thee. I'm gonna stop right there. We'll pick back up a little bit further on, maybe next Sunday night. But he's saying how wonderful it is. How great it is to be with you, God. Let me say this. I'm thankful to be here today. I'm thankful to have been called into the ministry, to be called from my mother's womb like Paul was and placed in the ministry. And let me say to you today, friend, we don't have the right as a nation to kill. We don't have a right as a nation to kill anymore, baby. You say, preacher, there's nobody in our church to do something like that. And there probably is. Somebody might hear this. But I think it's good for Mount Tabor Baptist Church to realize we don't need to put a false hope in what's going on in our nation today. And we better not put a false hope in this thing getting better long term. It's going to continue to get worse. We've not met the guy to see the thing that the Lord carries his coming that we're going to see in this nation. We got to be strong today and fight the good fight of faith and endure hardness as a good soldier and keep on going for the glory and for the honor of God. That's the deal when Paul told Timothy to be instant in season and out of season. That don't just go for preaching, friend. That goes for living life. You understand Noah was a preacher of righteousness, but I don't know that Noah ever opened his mouth. Noah just preached with his hands and through his life. He preached and gave a testimony of the grace of God on his life by being obedient to God. We're living written epistles known and read of men, friend. We need to preach the gospel through our life and how we live it in good times and in easy times, and in hard times and not so easy times. We need to follow the leadership of the Lord. I'm thankful today to be saved by the good grace of God. And I want to say to you, this nation may not get better. This nation may not look to Jesus Christ, but you can. Why? Because I'm thankful for some 2,000 years ago that Jesus Christ bled and died on a hill called Mount Calvary. And he gave up the ghost. And when he gave up the ghost, friend, God showed up in a mighty and spectacular way. And he proved to everyone that it was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that had been placed in that tomb. Today, friend, you better put your hope and faith in Jesus Christ. Don't put your hope and faith in our country. Don't put your hope and your faith in this nation. But you put your hope and your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he was born of a virgin. He died a cruel death for me and for you. He was buried, and he died, and in 3 days he rose again. I thank God that I serve a risen Savior. And just like the Bible said in John 14:6, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The ways of this world is not going to work. The ideas of our government's not going to work. You're going to have to follow the way, the truth, and the life, which is Jesus Christ. And you'll not get to the Father unless you go through the Son, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for helping us tonight. No doubt tonight, God, we've been waiting more often. We could chew with one message. And Lord, we didn't even scratch the surface of where it was that you were wanting us to go, or what we had pinned down, or the thoughts that you placed on our heart. But Lord, I do beg of you to help us to see the reality of our situation, not to put a false hope in anything that's going on in our nation today, but God, to look to you to understand that their troubles were going to come. Things will continue to get worse, and maybe not right now, but at the end result and long term, things are going to continue to get worse. Because we live in a nation that has forgot God, and nations that forget God, you said in your word, be turned into hell. We've got a sin problem in this nation, God. And I pray that you'd help us a little while as we go through these Sunday nights, God, on dealing with some sins that's happening right now in our nation. We'll thank you, Father. We'll praise you. We'll love you. We'll give you the glory and honor for all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.